My name is Jeff Harbach. I'm the CEO of Coffin Fellows and the host of the Coffin Fellows podcast. This season, our podcast is produced in partnership with Mighty Capital and features different Coffin Fellows as co-hosts. In this podcast, we dive deep into the personal narratives of some of the most successful names in the venture capital industry. But we're not here just to explore their highlight reels, however impressive they are. From failures and formative learning experiences to inflection points and aha moments, we discuss the real, authentic journeys that each individual goes through to become the best version of themselves in order to best serve the entrepreneurs they invest in. Covering various themes in venture capital investing, we speak with the world's top leaders in capital formation, all from a place of authenticity and vulnerability. Together, we'll unravel what truly makes a great venture capital investor. Now let's meet today's host and their guest.
Hello, everyone. This is Pin, and I'm a venture investor at Lightspeed Ventures Partner. Welcome to my show. This is a mini-series that will explore the challenges and best practices of venture building in emerging markets through conversations with leading investors and founders in India, China, and Southeast Asia. Today, I'm really excited to have Vaibhav Gupta, or more informally known as VG, CEO of Udaan, the leading B2B e-commerce platform in India, with us as guest. VG is someone I would consider, you know, annoyingly successful, for he has achieved the incredible feat of building not just one, but two unicorns in India in the last 10 years. VG, welcome to the show.
Hey, appreciate Pin for this discussion. Morning to all the folks who's listening to this.
Awesome. VG, you've been critical in building two high-impact companies in India, first as an early member of Flipkart, the biggest consumer e-commerce platform in India, and then now as a CEO of Udaan, a B2B e-commerce platform that holds the record of being the fastest Indian startup to achieve the coveted unicorn status in just 2 years. What audacity, considering some folks can spend the same amount of time finding product market fit. So VG, I'm going to put you in the tough spot now. What is your secret to building for India?
I think we guys in India, honestly, Pin, are actually going through quite an exciting time for internet economy, right? For most of the startups and founders, because there is a lot of penetration of and usage of mobile internet, which is opening up a lot of opportunities, and combined with almost every industry in the country, every use case is underdeveloped, unorganized, right? So it opens up a lot of opportunities for founders and startups to leverage tech to build companies. So definitely, I think that is what you see as well. In my learning, I believe, I've come across learning from one of my colleagues. He mentioned that there are some product managers who are mission-driven and there's some product managers who are customer-driven, right? And I think in India, I believe, if you can be very deeply customer and problem driven, right, then it's very core to the success, because India is just a very unique unique economy, unique society, and your ability to just be very first principle, very hyper realistic about how this market operates and how the users of your product over a period of time will change. I think being very first principle is the key in India to do anything big.
Gotcha. Any specific example on this, being first principle as you build out the two unicorns?
Yeah, I think there's an interesting one, right? When we started Udaan early on, especially in our lifestyle business, which is a very large unorganized market in this country, I think probably there are about 700 to 800,000 garment shopkeepers in this country, which drives most of the trade. When we started working with them initially, we saw that they had a behavior to touch the product before they will buy, something called sampling. Like they will sort of sample the product, and they're used to doing that. Either they'll go to wholesale markets and do it and sort of visit a lot of shops, or some of the agents from some of the manufacturers will come to the shops and show them samples, right? And as we started by going to the shop, and we said, look, here we're a digital sort of internet commerce platform. You can get all the selection like you get on any other website and sort of buy it. What we realized that they saw that, but they weren't adopting it with, they were using it occasionally, but not for large part of their purchase. And we realized that part of the reason is they had that habit of actually being able to get a sense of the product by touching it, right? And it was a big choice. We debated internally in the company for a while that as a tech platform, you know, what should be the ways we should solve it, right? And while we were trying a lot of things, we also actually, one of our team members started working with sample bags. He said, you know, I'll go to my manufacturers, get sample bags. And he started circulating sample bags with our buyers. And now that really kick-started the category for us. Now, obviously, it's always at the back of your head. You will always have like, how would you ever scale such an operation? It is not scalable. And what we realized after an year and a half, 2 years, it was not needed anymore. It was just like the buyers built the comfort of being able to trust the quality and product on Udaan platform. And we slowly, like we scaled it up. It went up to a decent side volume and then came down. But it kind of established the trust platform has. And this is something which I believe is very, very first principle in terms of how you approach it. And you have to be very, that's what I was saying about being customer driven, like where at times you just have to trust, you know, what really the customer wants and you try to solve for it. And over a period of time, you find the way how you will solve it scalably, how you build technology leverages in that. And I think that's one of the examples about that.
That is an amazing example. Awesome. So along the same vein, Vijay, you know, there has been many people from young, scrappy founders to well-funded companies that really just never cracked the India market. What do you think are the hardest part about building for India that people often overlook?
I think, Pin, there are, I would say, based on my experience, there are three or four things which I won't say hard, but are unique about the market. At least based on the experiences I've had in the commerce, lending, logistics domain. One is it starts from consumers, right? The consumer behaviors are very different. The country has grown, has had a different journey than developed countries or Asian countries over the last 300, 400 years, right? We have had sort of British for a large part of it. So there's a lot of English influence in our society, but there's also a lot of cultural sort of core Indian sort of behaviors, right? So consumers sort of think differently. Indians tend to be more emotional as humans. They tend to be more skeptical as humans. They tend to be very price sensitive. I think they're socially in a very different, they're quite social, but in a very different way than what I've seen is in China and sort of other countries. So it is a very uniquely Indian consumer and you just have to be approaching it that way. Second is, I believe the internet ecosystem in India has developed differently. We have had companies like Yahoo and Google and Microsoft been in this country for a long period of time, right? Now, over the last 10, 15 years, we have seen definitely, you know, the Facebook, the WhatsApps platforms emerging. We have also seen Indian startups getting stronger, like the Flipkarts, the Olas, the Paytms. So it is a very different ecosystem in the way it is developing, not very similar to US, not very similar to China. It has its own, own flavor in terms of the sequence at which different companies and different use cases have come into the market and how market is a lot more open than what I see in some of the other countries. So I think people have to keep in mind how the internet ecosystem is evolving as well as how government is influencing that. And that brings to my third point. I think in very large market segments in India, especially which tend to touch a large amount of consumers or large amount of real economy. If you are trying to build a platform, you have to be quite aware of the laws of the land, how the policies and policies are going to shape up over a period of time, right? So I think that also the third piece is around just the government and the policies around that. You need to be quite aware of it and what does it mean for your business in terms of your scalability, your opportunity, right? And the fourth thing, I believe, it's actually very core to most of the platforms all of us guys are building. We are still a very relatively lower GDP per capita country, right? We have $2,000 GDP per capita. And if you take top 1% out, you have a sort of $1,000 to $1,500 GDP per capita, right? Country is still about 65% rural. we're not as urbanized. Manufacturing is not as big in terms of the employment base. Thus, urbanization is also slower in this country. Consumers, like, still are discretionary category purchases, still aren't large part of India's purchase. It's still a lot more essential, right? And homes are small. Ticket prices are different. Ticket price of any use case is small. And supply quality is not reliable, right? And you would see across, say, commerce use cases, across, you know, hospitality use cases, across food delivery, across ride sharing. In almost all cases, what I've seen is, you, as platforms start scaling, we see that supply is not reliable. The quality and the price point at which supply is available is not reliable. And I think all of that has implication on how you think about building large platforms, which is a little bit different. So these four pieces, like starting from consumer is different, the internet ecosystem has evolved is different, the government and policies, and the fourth is just supply, price points, they're just in a very different zone. So you just have to keep all of these, which makes it hard as well as makes it complex, definitely. But it's also the one, once you get things right, you have large scale available. And I think it's always that puzzle of getting it right.
Yeah, definitely sound very complex to me. I want to dig a little bit on the, you know, ecosystem, right? Which you've rightly mentioned, you know, that you have Google, Amazon, you know, Western well-funded startups also serving the country in the very early days. How do you, as, you know, a founder of Indian startup, guide your team to think about competition, right? What is your strategy? And what's your team's philosophy on how to fight better funded, often more experienced competitors in a market like India?
It goes back from the choice of the market from the first point, right? I think it's important. And one of the reasons when we went into Udaan, we took a very Indian market versus going after a little bit more market which is core Indian DNA versus going to market segments which are more sort of Western nation in DNA, right? So I would say it starts from the choice of the market, right? Because you need to make sure that the opportunity you're going after gives you an advantage, right? And you just have to be real about it. Like, I think there are pockets in Indian market where you can just take external products and services and just deploy them and they'll work well. But there are pockets where it won't, and you have to build it from ground up. So I think choosing the right market segment is key. I believe that's where it starts. The second is, you need to make sure that you actually are... second goes to your capital strategy, right? Once you have assuming you have taken a large market segment and you believe it has a very core Indian sort of problem statement DNA to it, right? What you need to do is, you need to play your capital strategy right to make sure that you have enough time to make mistakes and learn, and while you scale up and sort of get to a critical mass, right? I think that's the second piece you need to, in terms of how aggressive you are early on with your scale, with your product market fit, with your learning, with your mistakes, right? All of that has to be deployed. I think those two, once you get them right, you know, you have the... Then I think it becomes a little bit more easier, because what I've seen is most of the companies who grow up in a given market, say in US or in China, right? Everybody is product of their own learnings, right? And their own thinkings are driven by what they saw initially. So it takes time for them to actually figure out a very Indian answer to an Indian problem, right? And if I look across, I haven't seen many of them being very successful. If I look at Uber in the context of sort of the whole transport problem in India, or if I look at Amazon outside the branded segment in India, if I look at some of the other players, offline players as well, right? People haven't been able to really penetrate. Like if you look at Nike and Reebok and Adidas in India, it's like less than 1% of India's footwear market, right? So it's just that I think once you... It's not easy for people to go after and build for mass India. And I think you have to get your capital strategy right. Post that, I think you have to be very deep about your product market fit. You have to be intellectually honest. I think all those things which sort of make go aggressive, learn, change, those are all the core things you would regardless do.
Awesome. And a little bit about your capital strategy. Tell us a little bit about your venture investors. How do you pick them and how do they value add to your journey?
See, I think we've been lucky, honestly, Pin. I think Lightspeed Bejul has been a great partner for us from very early on days. My thing is that, you know, like founders, even the venture capital ecosystem in India is learning by themselves, right? All the participants, all the people are sort of going through their own learning cycles. And everybody, depending upon what type of investor they are, either a seed stage, they're a growth investor, they're a VC, they're late stage private equity, or they're sovereign. Or I think that reflects in how they think about it. So, you know, the context in which people are approaching and the people within those funds, everybody is different in my head. I believe is that I would say two or three things which I think we have been lucky with. I think we've been able to get a group of investors who generally we've been able to have positive trust on management. I think all the folks on Udaan's cap table, right, generally have a positive orientation about understanding how management is thinking about it, why ups and downs, understanding what's structural, what's temporal. I think to me, that's definitely, if I look back, I think that's definitely one of the most important criteria, I would say, between a very effective investor versus not. I think second is nobody will have complete conviction of the future as well as the view of the future. It's part of this is also we are all evolutionary and exploring together. But certain elements of the thesis, I believe if an investor have independent conviction about the market opportunity, certain elements, not all of them, then you think you can actually co-create sort of together within that, right? So I think those are the two elements which I believe, and I think that has become part of how I have started thinking about, you know, who to partner with versus who not to partner with.
Any regrets on your journey? If you had to redo things all over again, what would you do differently?
I think there's always a lot of things, actually. I think last 5 years in the context of India, especially in our market, they've seen a lot of action. External action. Like, I think when we started, we benefited for, you know, structural macro things like GST, demonetization, as well as sort of mobile internet penetration. So those were strong tailwinds for us. But at the same time, COVID has been like a huge disruptor to the whole nation. While it adds a lot of tailwind, but in short term adds a lot of disruption, right? Which does obviously opens up a very different view of hindsight than in a normal case. With all of that, I think one of the things which I've learned, which I would do differently probably is, you know, there is a journey in the context of at least the commerce startups, is that you start with a little bit of a product market fit and then you go through a growth journey and then you sort of go through business building journey. Like, you know, you got the product market fit, you scaled it up, and then post scaling, you start thinking about how do I sort of really build this business, right? I think to me, I would say that one of the things I would different is the phase of scaling and business building, right? When I started Udaan, it was a little bit more sequential in my head. And we went a little bit like that. I would now actually, if I were to change, I would actually make it a little bit more parallel in the way I think about scaling and business building. While there will be over-indexed to scaling in the early stage, but it's not completely sequential. Uh-huh. Because when you start thinking about building the business, right, and it could be, you know, it's not just, I'm not calling out monetization, but it's more than that. It's more about how you think about your overall commercial model, how you think about your overall organization, how you think about the core capabilities you are building, when you start thinking about that, it adds a lot of quality into the business. Right? And I think you don't want to scale too far without really getting the benefits of that quality being seeded early on. So I think that's where I would say there's been a little bit of that learning in my head, is how to parallelize scaling and business building once you got the product market fit.
Maybe on a more positive thing, what would you think is one of the best decisions that you've made, you know, building the startups that you've built?
Oh, I think by far, there is zero lack of doubt, complete clarity, it's people. I think to us, the number one reason if Udaan has been successful is that we have always invested ahead in people. Like because you are going after something very large and something very unclear and will really take long periods of time to really build it out, right? I think finding the right set of people who have the right orientation, mindset, drive, ambition, skill, capability, I think is the core to any, like, to Udaan's success till date, right? I think we've gone through two waves of COVID, and second wave in this country was much, much harder than the first wave. Like almost everybody knows, the second COVID wave. But Udaan is far more resilient in second wave than the first wave. It's just because of the people. It's like people are able to really figure out things every time. And I think to me, we are coming out stronger after the second wave because of people, right? And I think to me, the resilience and the long-term value creation is, once you have a market opportunity, it's all about people, right? I think that's what I believe has been one of our biggest success factors.
All right. So we're coming to the tail end of this conversation of three compulsory questions, short answers, questions for you. One, what do you look for in a VC investor?
I look for independent conviction. I look for independent thinking. I look for ability to listen and change the point of views. I look for those things.
And what advice do you have for innovators, young entrepreneurs trying to build something for emerging markets?
I would say, obviously, it's in context of India market. I believe all markets are a little bit different. In India, I think you as an entrepreneur, you have to be solving for the Rubik's Cube together, right? You will have to, you have to be deliberate about it. You have to get the right, you have to think about your team, your capital, and product market fit, all of them together. My sense is the way market is scaling up, I have seen too many of the folks who over-index on just getting one thing right. And just be very deep about product market fit. And by the time the world around changes, because it's a very fast changing ecosystem, it's a very open ecosystem as well. So it's important that you have to maintain both external and internal orientation. It's key to that.
Gotcha. And last question, how do you stay sharp, and what book or podcast or blog inspires you?
See, I think one of the things I've started seeing a lot more over the last 2 years, actually, I'm generally, growing up, I've been a very internal thinker. Over the last 2-3 years, I've seen myself pinging a lot of people who are either in the startup ecosystems, part of the companies running them, or investors in India, outside, or people who've been sort of operating in larger companies in India. I think I've seen myself pinging them more often than not, generally getting on a 15-minute chat, sharing things, asking them what's going on, how they're thinking about the world, right? What are they solving for? I think that, to me, sort of all the folks in Indian ecosystem who are at this point in time trying to build platforms and businesses, I think a dialogue with them once in 2-3 quarters, I think, has been beginning to become very helpful for me to just make sure that I'm getting a little bit of more collective intuition at play. Generally, in terms of one of the guys who have always impressed me with respect to how org building and sort of org management thesis, I tend to always refer to Ray Dalio. Mm-hmm. And I believe that just has an immense amount of clarity to build something which is very, building very intellectually powerful organizations. And I think I do sort of look back at time and time on some of his principles.
Yeah, those are great author. Love his book as well. Awesome. Vijay, you know, I've been fortunate enough to be part, a small witness to the rise of Flipkart and the rise of Udaan in the last one decade in venture investing. And I just felt this conversation really gave me an insider view into your head. So thank you so much for taking the time to share with us, our audience today. You know, you really brought clarity around what it is to mean, to mean first principle, right? What is the consumer behavior in India? You know, you talked a lot about, you know, thinking in parallel versus sequentially, which is one big lesson that you've learned for yourself, and also some people that inspired your thinking and your team's thinking and building journey. So I want to say a big thank you again. And, you know, we wish we continue to be a big fan of you, yours at Lightspeed. And yeah, all the best for what it is to come.
I appreciate the kind words, Pin. I appreciate the opportunity. I think in India, I think the journey of Udaan is still very ahead of us. It's a large unsolved market. And I think that's what excites us. I appreciate you taking time to chat with us this morning.
That's a wrap. Tune in next week for another candid conversation on what makes a great VC investor with your host, the Kaufman Fellows.